We're speaking with Nathan Emmerich, the new volleyball coach of Carterville. Pretty great resume through 8 seasons at Cobden. You had over 150 wins, 7 regional titles, a sectional title. Not too bad. Now you're going to try to replicate that sort of success for the Lions of Carterville. Back in March, when the opportunity came up for you, Coach, to make that change, what made it seem like the right situation and the right time to make that change?
Well, I think, first off, thanks for having me. And I think the first thing was is I actually, my wife and I got hired to teach there before the volleyball position even came open. So I think it was a no-brainer to take the job at Carterville with what it was going to do for our family. Me teaching at Cobden, my wife at Carbondale High School, we'd never really been on the same schedule. And this was going to allow us to be on the same schedule, have our kids all and us all in the same community, the same school district. And I think once I was in there and got hired to teach, I knew that there was a chance that job was going to come open. And it was something that I kind of weighed for a little bit and just felt like through talking to some fellow coaches in the River to River and talking to some people in the community that I just felt like there was a chance for it to be a really, really good fit.
Well, ironically, the Apple Knockers played the Lions twice last season. I know you've played them in other years, but you got a good look at what the roster currently has. They swept Cobden in both the matches. Those experiences kind of gave you the luxury of knowing what you were going to walk into when you applied for the job.
Yeah, I think it's got a really young nucleus of girls that got a lot of experience last year. You have a good size senior class that has some experience, but you also have some girls coming in that are going to be juniors and going to be sophomores that they got a lot of experience playing last year and had a great year with making a run to a regional final. And when you have that type of group coming back, I think with the commitment that they've made to playing club and getting better, I think if I can come in and really just help establish some standards and I hate to throw around the word culture, but a culture. I really think that with the skill we have, we could have a chance to really surprise some people if we ever do get a chance to play this year.
Yeah, I remember when you got hired, someone on Twitter said, you know, Carterville, a sleeping giant, and now adding you just makes it that much more of a true statement. But, you know, talking about the Lions from last year, some under your predecessor, Johanna Mandrell, a 15-win improvement from 2018 to 2019, and you look at the roster, you're losing just one player in Gracie Taylor, the libero, who is about to graduate. Libero, obviously, an important position and not the easiest to fill, but you've got that young but experienced roster that knows how to win and a couple of defensive specialists that probably can fill in that role. I imagine if finding a new libero is your biggest concern, I'd say it's a pretty good spot to be in.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously you've got to replace a senior who had proven herself to be a quality player. But I think that's one thing that the more I get to know our team and the potential, I think that's the one thing that we have that I didn't realize we had as much of is I think we have quite a bit of depth at multiple positions. And I think if we can develop some, if we can get a chance to develop some of that anytime this summer or even throughout the year, I think by the time October rolls around, I do think we'll have a chance to really make some noise and really compete with the upper echelon of 2A schools in Southern Illinois.
We're talking about the Lions, and you talk about that upper echelon, the potential for the Lions in the River to River. It's a tough conference to play in, and then you add in that you're in the Mississippi Division. That's even tougher with teams like Pinckneyville, Nashville, their mainstays, their powerhouses. DuQuoin has been looking pretty tough in recent years also. They've got most of their roster returning this coming season. When you look at the potential of the four teams that we've mentioned here, this is likely a four-team race in that division, and it's going to be a beat-down, drag-up brawl all season long this fall if you do get to play that season.
Yeah, I think so. But, the thing about the Mississippi is you can't count out teams like Anna Jonesboro and even Sparta. I mean, those teams are so well coached and they play so hard that they're going to have a chance to knock anybody off at any time with how they play and how they approach the game. So I think that's going to be the biggest difference for me coming from Cobden, where we played in the SEC, which wasn't a super strong volleyball conference, to the River to River is there are zero off nights. If you don't show up to play, you're gonna get beat, and it's not gonna be fun for you. So I think that's the biggest thing that I'm really gonna have to focus on and really get our girls locked in, is that we have to show up every single day to play, and that starts with showing up every day to practice. Like, we can't have bad practices, because you have a bad practice, it easily leads into a bad game, and you play so, you know, usually every Tuesday, Thursday you're playing, and then on some Saturday tournaments that you don't have time to take days off as far as mentally and physically from being your best. So I think if we can do that, we can get that buy-in from the players to really kind of adapt to what I'm going to try and do with us, and the type of program that I want to run, and the expectations that I'm going to have. If I can get that buy-in, I think we will have a chance to really even surprise some people.
Well, we mentioned your resume at the start of this. Last year, though, a rough one for Cobden and you, 10-25 season, but you still had 152 wins on the career. But, you know, that 10-win season, you know, what happened there? Because the Cobden fan base was so used to winning so much.
Yeah, I think one of it was we were really young. We played four seniors, but then we relied on five sophomores. We had zero juniors in our program, so you had five sophomores who only really one of them had a ton of varsity experience coming in. And when you have that inexperience, sometimes if you don't get rolling early, it just kind of snowballs on you. And I think we probably. If I had to do it over again, I probably would have changed our schedule a little bit. I think that's the one thing at Cobden that I always tried to do, was schedule up, just because I felt like it would always prepare us for the postseason. I was okay going into a postseason with a 500 record, knowing that we were going to be more prepared than most of the teams we were going to play through the regional and even maybe into the sectional. And last year, I probably overscheduled a little bit. We played in the Carbondale tournament, the Massac tournament, the Fairfield tournament, the Marion tournament. So every tournament, I don't think we won a game in a tournament, but it was usually because we're playing 2 and 3A schools. And then we ran into NCOE once at the Marion tournament. And, you know, when you're playing those types of teams, you know, it was one of those where I never felt like we just flat got beat really, really bad. It seemed like we were always in the game, like 12-12. 15-13, and then we would kind of get stuck in a rotation that we didn't have a lot of experience, or we didn't have a lot of size, and you know, next thing you know, it's 22-15, and we were really small from a size standpoint, and just really young, and I think that our schedule didn't do us any favors, and probably a lot of that was on me. I probably should have seen that and probably kind of switched some things up a little bit, but I think that was probably the biggest thing for us that kind of contributed us to not having a super successful year.
Well, shifting focus from the past now to the future, we've been alluding to it a little bit. The coronavirus, obviously the topic everyone is thinking about these days, doesn't really make your transition from Cobden to Carterville any easier.
No, it's been pretty interesting. Trying to figure out and weigh how do I end my time at Cobden, where I've been for 12 years. This is all I've known as a teacher and as a coach, is being here, and wanting to honor them and respect them and go out in a way that it's not just kind of shutting it down and coasting the last few months. So trying to figure out how to do that, but also how to get started preparing for Carbondale, not only on the court, but in the classroom. And, you know, this 2 month off, I guess, break, if you call it, has been a little different, because I still do have things that I have to do at Cobden with school and classes and things like that, but it still feels like it's almost over. And trying not to get in too big of a hurry, because it feels like it's June when it's actually just May, has been something that I've been kind of having to keep in check a little bit. I think the big thing is with us not knowing when we're going to be able to do anything, I don't want to kind of get caught off guard and not be prepared if at some point they say, yeah, hey, I think in 2 weeks we're going to be able to start doing some small group workouts or something like that. So I've been in communication with our players through doing a lot of Google Form type stuff, just trying to get to know them. I'm probably going to schedule some Zoom calls with different classes just to get to know the girls so they can kind of see me, they can ask questions. I can answer things that they might have, trying to get to know the parents a little bit too. But it's been a little difficult trying to do that all through technology. Even though that's kind of the world we live in, it still is really showing kind of the impersonal side of technology. I mean, they can fill out a Google form and answer some questions, and I can think I get to know them, but really I still don't know them very well. So hopefully at some point this is going to relent a little bit, and I'll be able to at least get to meet some of them, and hopefully down the road get to work out with them and start kind of going to work. But you know, it's kind of day to day and week to week on what that's going to look like.
Well, you talked a little bit there about you know, the girls and you trying to stay prepared for whenever this does end and you're able to get in the gym and start working out a little bit. But I know some of the girls rely on, you know, some of the academies and the traveling teams to stay constantly in volleyball shape and just hone their craft a little bit. But obviously those also have had to close down because of the pandemic. What sort of exercises or drills are you suggesting they do on their own to stay prepared?
You know, I think the big thing right now is I don't want to overwhelm them with a ton of stuff. I mean, I don't think anyone quite realizes, honestly, the psychological burden this is kind of putting on people. I have three little kids at home who's 6, 4, and 9 months, and you know, my 6 and 4 year old are stir crazy because they want to go out and see their friends and play with kids and, you know, go to the park and go to the pool and do things like that. So I think the big thing I'm trying to do is right now, just trying to get in touch with players and find out what they need from me, whether it is workouts, because I don't really know them yet. I don't know what their work ethic's like. I don't know what their discipline is like. If they are a disciplined kid who, you know, you can give them a piece of paper with a workout on it, you know, it's going to get done at a high level. So trying to just figure out what they need from me. And then I would say in the next couple weeks, I'll start kind of pushing some ideas and some different types of workouts and things that they can do. But I also got to realize that they're still trying to finish up school for this school year. They've got other things that they need to worry about right now. We'll have plenty of time to get in shape. I mean, I don't feel like if this gets rolled out, the ISSA is going to say, okay, you get 1 week of practice and you get to start playing. And if that's the case, that's what everybody has to do. So I'm not in a huge hurry to start pushing workouts on them or anything like that. I'm just trying to, one, get to know them, build some relationships with them, to where they know me, they can start to trust me a little bit, know where I'm at on things and my expectations. And then we'll get to a point where we start doing some workouts and there's a little higher expectation on some of that stuff.
Well, when you look at the area, you know, basketball and football obviously get the big headlines here in Southern Illinois, but they also love their softball. And from what I've noticed, at least, volleyball really seems to be catching on with the local fan base as well. Have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when the Southern called to do an interview with me when I first got hired and everything like that. And I was kind of joking with them that, you know, it's a slow day in sports when you're doing a story on a volleyball coaching hire. But I do think that, and the volleyball's catching, I mean, it's the fastest growing sport in the United States. So it's one of those where I think girls like it for a number of reasons. One, I think you still get the intensity and the speed and things like that, in volleyball that you do like from basketball. But I do feel like some girls like it more because there's not as much contact going on. You know, there's that distance between the net that you can't cross. But yet it's still, It's a fast-paced game. It's one of those games where I feel like it's doing today what college softball did about 10 years ago when it started to get on ESPN and the College World Series was being broadcast, and people were just tuning in and watching it and realizing, man, this is a pretty fun sport. And now I think it's a volleyball that's taking that turn. And I think Southern Illinois is just one of those areas where it's really, really catching on. We've got some really, really good clubs in the area that girls can go play on. And I think it's just a fun sport, especially when you're good at it and when your team's good. And I think that there's that buy-in from players to get better, and there's buy-in from parents to want their kids to be better. And I think it's just I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
Well, you know, and with popularity also comes, you know, looking at the other gender, if you will, boys volleyball starting to gain traction, not really starting to, they've already have in suburban Chicago and the Metro East. Do you see it maybe eventually coming to Southern Illinois or anytime soon, or is that still far off in your mind?
You know, I think it's too far off, honestly. I think you would have to almost have an agreement amongst a number of schools to be able to pull that off. I mean, you're not going to have one or two schools in Southern Illinois do it that have to either travel to the metro area or into Central and Northern Illinois to actually get games. I think unless you can get, you know, six or seven schools to do it, it would probably have to be a conference thing to start. I don't know. It would have to be obviously phased in. I mean, I think you're going to have to start at the junior high level before you get the high school level. And, I just don't see the buy-in right now. I think it's typically played in the spring. I think baseball in Southern Illinois is big. Soccer's in the fall for boys. But I just think that there's a few too many things going on right now that it would draw some kids, but I don't think that it would take off like it has in certain areas just solely because of numbers.
Sure, and that makes total sense. Well, final question here. What is your philosophy in volleyball when it comes to offense, defense, et cetera? You know, the folks that are thinking about checking the lines out, what should they expect when they see the Lions play next year?
You know, I think the big thing is I want us to be a team that comes out and plays the game the right way, that we're great teammates, whether we're the star or we're the last kid on the bench. We play really hard. We don't lose our cool, and we just battle. I just want us to be a team that just we battle, that we don't beat ourselves, and we just kind of grind out games, because that's what you're going to have to do in the river to river. And I want fans, other teams, when they leave our gym or they leave watching a game, that they just know that, man, that is a great group of kids that love the game. They love to do things the right way. And I want to come back next time. I want to bring some energy to Carterville. I want to bring some excitement. And I just want to get people in the gym. And once we get them there, then we've got to do our job to keep them there. So that's the hope, that we'll just be a team that just plays really hard, does it the right way, with great attitudes and great effort, and we'll take our chances.
Absolutely. Blue-collar mentality. I like it. Well, thanks, Coach, for the time. It's always a pleasure to speak with area coaches. We wish you success at Carterville, and hopefully this fall we'll see you on the court.
I appreciate it. I look forward to it.